Greetings and welcome to Heirloom Radio, a different kind of oldies program. I'm your host for Heirloom Radio, John Lovering. You know, many radio shows during the early years of radio, 1930s, almost universally had the name of the sponsor in the title of the show. Maxwell House Coffee Hour, The Jell-O Program, Bird's Eye Open House, 20 Mule Team Borax Show, The Kraft Music Hall, you get the idea. The reason that was done, especially in the early years, was to entice companies to sponsor shows on this new, but at the time not totally proven to be successful, medium called radio. As time went on, the shows were renamed with the stars of the shows included in the name, like the Jack Benny Jell-O program, the Maxwell House Coffee Show with Burns and Allen, and eventually, just the stars, the Jack Benny program, Burns and Allen Show. But the sponsors often were included in skits or songs as parts of their advertising for the show. Why am I mentioning this? Well, the show you're going to hear on this track was originally entitled Murder Is My Hobby, a show about a writer who loves to solve crimes and mysteries. The show was performed before a live audience. The character's name was Barton Drake, and he was played by actor Glenn Langan. It was a detective series that aired on the Mutual Radio Network from 1947 to 1949. Now, before each episode ended, Drake would cite the line, "Murder is my hobby." The problem was that the sponsor was the Mutual Benefit Life Insurance Company of Omaha, and they did not feel the title "Murder is my hobby" fit very well with their insurance business. In other words, it was not an appropriate title. So it was changed to "Mystery is my hobby," and character Barton ends the show with that line. Now, detective shows like Philip Marlowe, Michael Shane, Boston Blackie, Richard Diamond, Ellery Queen, Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, Let George Do It, they were all very popular at roughly the same time that Mystery Is My Hobby was on the air. So what made Mystery Is My Hobby different? It was the fact that Barton Drake was more upbeat, more of a suave sleuth, more lighthearted than the so-called hard-boiled detectives created by Raymond Chandler. And the audience was attracted to the difference. Okay, and the episode you are about to hear is from 1948 and is entitled Murder at a Magic Show. And I want to mention that another important character in the show is a police officer named Nora Danton. This is Heirloom Radio, a different kind of oldie show. Thank you for listening.
And now to Glenn Langan as Barton Drake and the first act of
Mystery is My Hobby. Why the good inspector had to drag me to the theater tonight of all nights is quite beyond me. I could much more profitably have been finishing the first chapter of my latest book or calling upon a very desirable young lady I know. Of course, mystery is my hobby, but that doesn't include magicians, charlatans, and mind readers. And that's just what this Rajah Vidrani is, I'll bet you. Even if he is billed as the greatest wizard of modern times.
Well, this ought to be a good show, Barnes.
Inspector, you're getting childish. Certainly you don't believe in this stuff.
Of course not. I'm here on business.
You want to learn some card tricks?
Now, look, Bart, you know the department frowns on these kind of things. We got laws about fortune tellers. I'm here to see that this guy doesn't pull any monkey business, that's all.
And incidentally find out how your great aunt is doing in the other world, Inspector?
Now, Bart. Anyhow, they usually have some mighty pretty girls in these kind of shows.
That's right.
In tight. Now, be quiet. Here comes the man.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. To some of you, it may indeed seem strange that I appear before you in this unusual capacity, but I assure you, I am the same Dr. Tree who was your professor of psychology at the university.
Yeah, it sounds as if the guy might be all right, Bart.
Wait a second.
A professor wouldn't give up a good job to handle a fake, would he?
Maybe not.
I am convinced that the Rajah Hanuman Vidrani has developed the ability to control his mind, as well as the minds of others, to an extent never before known to science. That is why I left the university a year ago. to enjoy the company of this great man. I therefore take great pleasure in introducing to you Raja Vidrame.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. I am Raja Vidrame. During the evening, I shall attempt many experiments. However, the greatest one of all will require the whole evening. I shall therefore begin it now. Loretta, if you please. You will become rigid, Loretta. Dr. T, you and I will bind her hands to her side. We will place the rigid body upon this bed of sharpened spikes. Strike them, Dr. T. I wish the spectators to know that they are real.
Yes, Raja.
We now place this sheet over Miss Loretta. Now, Dr. Threek, you will cover her completely with sand to a depth of at least 2 feet. Ladies and gentlemen, you shall see at the end of this performance that despite a complete lack of air, when we uncover her, she will still be alive. Dr. Three is now removing the sand. Buried in sand for 2 hours, you shall see that Miss Loretta still lives. You may remove the sheet now, Dr. Three. Miss Loretta. Miss Loretta. Dr. Three, please.
She's dead, Raja. She's dead.
Impossible.
Loretta's been shot. Ladies and gentlemen, a terrible tragedy has occurred. The girl we buried alive in the sand is dead. Not by suffocation. She's been shot.
I'll pick out a couple of men and put them on the stage door, Bart. Then I'm going to call for a detail.
Okay, Inspector.
Raja, could we have the curtains closed, please?
Yes. Yes, I'll attend to it at once.
Well, Dr. Tree, something seems to have gone wrong.
It's impossible. It couldn't be done.
Death isn't very pretty, is it, Doctor? But Raja can at least close up the curtain.
The Raja can do anything.
Yes, except bring this poor girl back to life. Help me turn her over, Doctor. Maybe we can find the wound.
Yes, of course.
Thanks. We'll set her down here, off the spikes. That's better. Yes, indeed.
It's terrible, sir.
A gaping hole in the back of her head. Bullet still in the brain.
It couldn't happen. It couldn't.
Yes, but it did. Let's take a look at this bed of spikes.
Well, there's nothing...
What's this?
What, sir?
This bent metal tube running to the spike. There's a mouthpiece on the end of it.
Well, there.
I'll pull it out of the spike. Well, this particular spike is hollow. There's a hole barred in the stage just under it. There are 2 other holes slightly larger right alongside of it. Well, Dr. Tree, this exhibition was a fake, wasn't it?
What do you mean?
All the time the girl was lying buried in the sand, supposedly in a trance, she was breathing through this tube.
But she had to breathe, of course.
The whole thing was a fake. That's a funny thing, Dr. Tree. Even I was tempted to believe it was real, and you completely fooled the inspector.
Well, why not? I staged it. So far, I've been able to fool all the great authorities.
Yeah, well, never mind. Who was backstage, Doctor, during your act?
Only the girl, Mildred, Raja's other assistant. You saw her yourself.
Yeah, she was quite alluring.
There's one thing I think you should know, Mr. Drake. This girl here, Loretta, was my wife.
Very interesting.
We've been married just a few months.
And I see you're completely overcome with grief.
Hey, Barnes.
Yes, Inspector.
I've got guards on the doors and the homicide detail will be here any minute.
Good old Inspector. You follow the routine to the letter, don't you?
You bet.
Where's our friend, the Rajah? Did you let him go?
I'll say I didn't.
The Rajah couldn't possibly have committed this crime, gentlemen. He was on stage during the entire performance.
Where is the Rajah, Inspector?
Downstairs in one of the dressing rooms.
Perhaps we'd better go have a talk with him.
Hey, what's that? Who's shooting?
Come on, let's find out.
Give me that gun.
Who's in where, Mildred?
Man, I don't know who, but he ran back to the mummy case.
I'll drag him out. Wait a minute, Bard. Let me get him out.
Okay, Inspector, go ahead.
Come on out, you. Come out or I'll shoot. Come out of that box. That'll get him.
You're so thorough, Inspector.
Nobody in there.
I'm sure I saw somebody. I'm sure I did.
Hey, what was that crash?
Where's Dr. Tree?
How do I know? He was just here.
I'm afraid this little pretty has tricked us, Inspector. She's distracted us long enough for Dr. Tree to go downstairs and conceal some evidence. Well, Dr. Tree, coming up again?
I was down here looking for evidence.
And why did you expect to find some evidence down here?
It's obvious, isn't it? Loretta was killed while she was lying on her back, buried in the sand. She was hit in the back of the head. This is the only place the shot could have come from.
What evidence did you find, Dr. Tree?
None whatsoever. I even moved our wardrobe trunks.
What was that crash we heard?
One of the trunks. It got away from me as I tipped it.
Dr. Tree, there's something that's bothering me considerably.
Yes, Mr. Drake?
Your emotions. You seem to be holding them singularly in check for a man who's just seen his bride lying in front of him, dead.
Thank you, Mr. Drake. I have learned a great deal from the Rajah.
Yes.
Sublimity of the mind.
Well, Inspector, as long as we've come this far, we might as well go down and take a look for ourselves.
But I assure you there's nothing to be found.
Come on.
This is it, gentlemen. We are now directly beneath the stage.
I see. Are these the wardrobe trunks you were moving, Doctor?
Yes.
What's this little tin pail?
One of the props, I believe, eh, Mildred?
Yeah, the Rajah makes roses grow out of them.
This one's been smashed.
I'm afraid the trunk fell on it.
I see that some of your sand has leaked through onto the floor from above.
Possibly. There are several holes in the stage.
Hey, Mike, come over here.
Here's where the murder was committed.
Yeah? How?
Through one of these holes here in the ceiling? See, this one has powder marks. Somebody poked a gun through this hole and pulled the trigger.
I wonder who.
Mildred, that's who. She's the only one who was off stage, and I took a gun away from her, remember?
But Mildred's gun was an automatic. An automatic wouldn't fit into that hole, Inspector.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so it wasn't Mildred, but somebody did. I'll bet I'd find the gun, too, right here in this basin.
Mr. Drake, could I speak to you alone?
Well, I...
Go ahead, Bard. I'll speak with the doctor here. I'm going to find that gun, and I'm betting he'll help me find it.
Bard. Mind if I call you Bard?
Why not?
Bard, do you believe love is overpowering?
Are you trying to tell me that this is a crime of passion?
Yeah, with me, love's everything.
It has its points. But what do you want to talk to me about?
Well, you're more the romantic type than the inspector.
Nice.
I could go for a guy like you.
It's pretty easy to go for yourself.
I'm in an awful jam, Bart.
Really?
Bart, kiss me.
Well, I never refuse a lady in distress.
Out of this mess, we'll have fun.
That depends whether the sheriff will let you out.
Oh, now, Bart, don't spoil it.
Open your heart, darling. What crooks?
Dr. Tree never would have married Loretta if he'd been here teaching the school. He was out of his environment.
Something like I was a few minutes ago?
Oh, now, baby. Be nice.
Sorry.
After the ceremony, he found out his mistake, but it was too late. She wouldn't give him up. After all, managing the Rajah's $100,000 racket, she wanted her part of the take.
You admit it's a racket, huh?
Only you. I can trust you, Bart, can I?
Well, there's certain limitations. What's the rest?
Well, I saw Dr. Tree needed sympathy. So I gave it to him.
In other words, you made a play.
What?
And when you play hard.
That isn't very nice, Pop.
Let me say it for you. Loretta became jealous of you. She became so jealous that the doctor felt he had to kill her.
You know better than that. Dr. Tree was on stage all evening.
That's so. Then Loretta became so jealous that you had to kill her. You weren't on stage all evening.
That's the kind of conclusion I thought the inspector made. That's why I wanted to talk to you.
It's a very simple matter to find out if you fired the gun. Those things leave powder marks embedded in the skin of your hand.
I did fire a gun. Out there on stage, remember?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's all you have to tell me. You're wasting time, my sweetheart.
I haven't mentioned the most important thing.
You mean there's more?
I was dead once. I rode a guy for his dough. Loretta was with me. She held it over my head. Said if I didn't leave her husband alone, she'd go to the police about me. And while she was there, she'd expose the Raja as a fake. When she turned to leave me, the Raja was standing there. He'd heard everything she said.
So, you think the Raja killed Loretta, huh?
Well, I didn't actually see him do it, but he had a darn good motive.
But Dr. Tree made a great point of the fact that the Raja couldn't have killed her. Remember, the Raja, too, was on stage all evening.
Dr. Tree said that?
Yes.
That the Raja couldn't have killed Loretta. I thought that he...
Yes? What did you think?
Yes, Mildred. Tell us, what do you think? Yes, my dear. Tell us, what do you think?
Well, Mildred?
Raja, I didn't know you were there.
Your words accuse me of murder.
Well, I didn't mean to accuse you. I simply meant you could have killed her.
It's true. It would have been possible. I know something of firearms. Even better still, I know ways of controlling the human mind so that a person will destroy himself. I would have a care, Mildred.
I know, Raja, I know.
But I did not kill Loretta.
Did you know that Loretta had threatened to expose your claims to abnormal mental power as false, Raja?
I did. It was as though a great tree had fallen across my body, crushing out my spirit. How was I to know that these three had contrived to embellish my miracle with the use of mechanical contrivances, fraud and trickery? Since I learned this through Miss Loretta's thoughtless words, my life has become a mockery. I am nothing but a bit of chaff being ground in the mill of commercialism.
You must show the great hatred of them, Raja Vidrami. And especially for Loretta, who threatened to expose you.
Hatred is not within the concepts of my mind, Mr. Drake. It is an unworthy emotion.
I can sympathize with you.
Then, Miss Sahib, when this crime becomes public knowledge, my work as a charlatan for this past year will also become public, will it not?
I'm afraid so, Roger.
Hold that! Help! Help!
Good heavens, that's the inspector.
Help! Help!
Where are you, Inspector?
In here. In the mummy cave.
Stand where you are, Mr. Drake.
Dr. Tree, he has a gun.
Yes, and I'll use it. Unless you let Mildred and me go free.
What about the Raja? Don't you want him to go free, too?
No. I'm certain that he killed my wife, Loretta.
Help! Pull me out!
What makes you so sure, Dr. Tree?
Because the inspector found the murder weapon, this gun, in the Raja's trunk.
I'm sure that the inspector must be mistaken.
Hey, Paul, you don't let me out.
I'm sure he's not mistaken. This is the gun. I've seen it before.
But how could it be the murder weapon when I have the murder weapon right here?
Look out! You shot it out of my hand.
Now, will you please release the inspector from the mummy case?
I shall be happy to do so. Where is he? I'll send him up for life, interfering with an officer in the line of duty.
Now, don't feel too bad, Inspector. I've heard of Egyptians who stayed in those things for thousands of years.
The dirty lug, he tripped me. Pretended he was trying to help us. I dropped the gun and he shoved me inside that thing and slammed it shut. Oh, Bart, when the boys hear about this...
No, don't worry, Inspector. I won't tell.
I think I'll just work the doctor over for luck.
Just a minute, Inspector. Let's get one crime solved before we come involved in another. Now, the way I see it, Dr. Tree here and the beautiful Mildred are in love, age notwithstanding. Each seems to be afraid that the other did the killing, and each is trying to protect the other.
I can get results quicker with the heel of my hand. I'll make the doctor confess, but quick.
I'll save you the trouble, Inspector. If you all come out onto the stage, I believe I can now reconstruct the crime.
If you will be so kind, Mr. Drake, I would like to go to my dressing room and lie down. I'm overcome with shame.
Oh, no, you don't. You'll stay here.
I'd prefer it, Roger.
As you wish. Although my shame is punishment almost too great to bear. If I committed a crime, it was in all innocence. I was gullible. These are the tricksters who blaspheme my work.
Yes. Well, we'll take care of that in a minute, Raja. First, I want you to notice these three holes here in the floor. One was for the tube that Loretta breathed through. One was used to push the barrel of the revolver upward. It's just tight enough to hold it firmly. But there's still another hole.
Yes. What was that for?
The little tin pail, Inspector, that we found downstairs. It was tied to the trigger of the gun directly under this third hole. So when the sand was shoveled in over the girl, some of it ran through the hole and into the pail. When the bucket gained sufficient weight, naturally, it pulled the trigger of the gun.
Well, I'll be darned. What didn't I think of that?
You will when you tell it to the boys.
Incredible.
What I want to know is why we didn't hear the gun go off.
Oh, Inspector, how could you? The gun was under the stage. It was also covered by Loretta's body and over 2 feet of sand. A perfect setup. Even the murderer couldn't be exactly sure when it was going to go off.
Yeah, but why wouldn't it still be sticking there in the hole?
The murderer poked it out himself after the sand had been removed, Inspector.
But it would have been on the floor downstairs.
Any one of the three could have retrieved it from there, Inspector. Mildred wasn't on the stage all the time. The Rajah went down to rest, and Dr. Tree went looking for evidence.
Yeah. I think we'd better run all three of them in.
What? Let the Rajah...
Hey, no, you don't. No, you don't. Give me that knife.
I'm afraid we're too late, Inspector.
I go... where spirits are kind. Where there is no fraud or deception.
Roger.
Roger.
Yes, my son.
You're dying. You know that, don't you?
Yes. This is as I wish.
What about the murder, Roger? Tell us.
A human can only stand so much sight. I worked for greatness, then found that true greatness was not for me. That is a tragedy unto itself.
Tell us. Please tell us about Loretta.
Loretta.
Hey, he's dead. Yes, he's dead.
Well, I guess that just about closes the case.
Yes, Dr. Tree, it just about does. You know, Inspector, the Rajah was a good and sincere man. He had a lot of talent, if the others hadn't tried to exploit it.
What kind of talent?
Extrasensory perception, for one thing.
What's that?
Skip it.
I don't believe it, whatever it is. Now, don't tell me that he gave you some kind of a thought transfer that made you tell me to arrest Dr. Tree for Loretta's murder. Or maybe you read his mind.
No, Inspector. It wasn't a thought transfer. In fact, it was Dr. Tree's complete lack of thinking that put me on the right track.
Yeah?
Yes, I'm afraid so. You remember when he announced Loretta's death from the stage. He said she'd been shot. But when we looked at the body lying face up on that bed of spikes, there was no visible wound. We didn't find the wound until we turned her over.
Well, I'd have seen that, too. Only I was out posting guards on the doors and phoning headquarters.
Why, of course you would, Inspector. Just as you knew that Dr. Tree was the only person who could possibly have pushed that gun barrel down through the hole in the floor.
Did I know that?
Well, certainly you did. He was the one who shoveled the sand out of the way. He was the only person who came near the body and the gun. You knew that, Inspector. You wouldn't have insisted on staying downstairs and searching for the murder weapon.
I found it, too.
Yes, you certainly did, Inspector. In the Rajah's trunk, right where Dr. Tree had put it.
I'm good, ain't I?
Yes, you are. You certainly are. It was you who also pushed the trunk aside, Inspector. The trunk that Dr. Tree used to hide and smash the little tin pail, which was attached to the trigger of the revolver.
That was easy.
Oh, I don't know.
It was you, though, found a little pile of sand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bart,
Love is a terrible thing.
Oh, Inspector, don't tell me that you're down on love.
I am when it makes a guy kill his wife because he wanted a babe like Mildred.
Mildred isn't so bad, Inspector. You can blame greed just as much as love. Loretta hung on to the doctor not because she loved him. She only wanted a wife's share of his $100,000 racket.
Yeah, love and greed. Both of them are terrible. Hey, Bart, remember, you promised that you wouldn't tell the boys down at headquarters about me being locked up in that mummy case.
Oh, Inspector, of course I won't. I don't get any pleasure out of telling the world that a man is a fake. Mystery is my hobby.
Fake! Who's a fake?
The best internet radio stations around.
Thank you for your visit. Good day.